Good morning.
Good morning.
If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And before we get started, there are a couple of announcements I'm going to bring attention to and one correction. In the bulletin, it says communion's going to be next Sunday, September 12th. That's the first Sunday in October is when communion's going to be, so make a note of that. And also today after church, we have a fellowship luncheon, and we'd really like to have you stay and join us and understand we got some gourmet hot dogs. So.
And we've got 4 pounds of chili, so please come and eat.
I'm sure there'll be enough food. Don't worry about that. And are any other announcements that I'm not aware of?
Just want to let you know, Betty and I will not be here next week. We're going to Nashville for the Gettys Sing Conference. So we'll be there for about 4 days, soaking up good preaching and great music and just glorifying God together with about 10 or 12,000 other Christian musicians. It's a great conference. We weren't able to meet together last year. We did it all online because of COVID. But this year we're going ahead with it, and we're really excited. So I leave you in good hands with Kathy Penland, who will be leading you next week. So very good. We'll see you the week after.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay. And that jogged my memory. Thank you. One other thing is on the 19th of this month, Pastor Walt's going to be not occupying the pulpit, and the pastor who is the RUF pastor from Boone, Appet State, will bring the message that morning. And I will not be here either, and Ronnie's going to be up here taking my place that Sunday morning. So it'd be a total change up here on the 19th. If there's no other announcements, please take your bulletin and let's turn and do the unison reading. It gets printed there together. And it reads, I lift up my eyes to the hills.
From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Thank you.
Let's continue our time of worship together by standing and singing together the choral call to worship that's printed right here in your bulletin. And it is, "We Exalt Thee."
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning just exalting your name and praising you and thanking you for the privilege of being here in your house to worship. We ask, Lord, that you be with each and every person who comes through our doors today and help us as a church to be open and warm and welcoming. And God, we ask that your presence be with us. Guide us, direct us, forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 354. 354. The Church's One Foundation.
Spirit and the world.
please be seated. And as you know, we're going through the shorter catechisms. This morning, we're going to do question 50 and 51. And I'll read the question. You do the answer that's printed in bold in your bulletin. Question 50. What is required in the second commandment?
The second commandment requires receiving, observing, and keeping pure and entire all such religious worship and ordinances as God has appointed in His Word.
What is forbidden in the second commandment?
The second commandment forbids the worshiping of God by images or any other way not appointed in His Word.
And as we come to a time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read Luke 6:38. And it reads, "Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your laps. For with the measure you are, it will be measured to you." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
So this morning we're going to be doing, for our anthem, hymn number 419. So I encourage you to turn there and join us on the chorus. And featured this morning is a duet by Kathy Penlin and Dale Keener. So please join us on the chorus.
Salvation in
us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes, gifts, and offerings here to your house and ask that you grant each gift and each giver, Lord, a special blessing. Help us as a church to reach those around us further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, this is a very special Sunday as we meet together. And not only are we going to worship together, but following our worship service, we're going to be having our food and fellowship, which this month is a hot dog cookout. And I have to tell you, you know, a lot of people, when you say hot dogs, they kind of cringe. But these are gourmet hot dogs. These are all beef, and they've been handmade. So they're very exceptional. So we hope everybody will have just stay behind and join us, have a hot dog or two with some chili on it or whatever, and it's going to be a great time. So anyway, we come to the Lord now in prayer and pray for not only our church, but also for our community, for those around us that we love. So let's draw near to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do come to you as those who are in need of your presence. Lord, we recognize that we are in a time of growing darkness, and we need the light of your word. We need the light of your salvation. And Father, we pray and ask that each of us here this morning, this day, would honor you from the heart, that we would worship you with all of our heart. And Lord, to that end, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be here, that you would come upon us, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to your word, that you would grant us a love for you and a love for one another. Now, Father, we pray for those who have come this morning with burdens, with physical burdens and physical needs. Lord, for even for those who are listening over the internet or those who are listening to this through CD, Father, we pray and ask that your Spirit might go forth and touch them physically and heal them from these difficulties and problems that they face. And Lord, we pray for those who are our members here who are shut in, those who can't come, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with them and attend to them and give them the peace and joy of knowing that you're by their side. Father, for those who have come this morning with emotional problems, with worries and with fears, those who are afraid of the future, Lord, we pray that we might cast our anxieties onto you because you care for us. And knowing that you are the God over Israel and you neither slumber nor sleep. So, Father, we pray that you would gather us up as your people and hold us close to you as we draw near to you. Now, Father, we also pray for the ministry of this congregation here in Asheville, North Carolina. And we pray, Lord, and ask that you would give us the ability to witness to you, to let our light so shine before men that they would glorify you. Lord, we pray for our nation in this troubled time. And Lord, we ask that once again that you would revive us as a nation, that you would send another great revival onto this country, that hearts would be turned back to you, and that once again we could cry out and say that this is one nation under God. Lord, on this Labor Day weekend, and we know that this day, today, tomorrow, are typically days when there are many accidents on the highways and people lose their lives, we ask and pray that your mercy would be great, that you would cover those who are on the roads with your mercy, with a shield of protection around them. And Lord, again, we are so grateful and thankful that you've called us to be your own, that you've called us into your kingdom, and we pray that we could rejoice in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Now please turn in your hymnal to number 368. So we've done two Keith Getty hymns this morning. We just sang you helped us sing the chorus to one. And now here's another one. And thank you, Walt, for picking these and warming us up for next week's conference. As you can see, we're excited to go. We've been there, gosh, for about 4 years now, and it's wonderful. Please stand and we'll sing this together, number 368. Speak, O Lord.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. Scripture reading, and this is found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, and reading verses 1 to 7. This is Isaiah chapter 55, reading verses 1 to 7. And hear now the word of God. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. And behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel. for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. May God add to understanding this portion from his holy word. So here we are. It's hard to believe it's already Labor Day. It's like, you know, what happened to the summer? I thought it was just 4th of July about a week ago, and now it's Labor Day. And, of course, Labor Day is a time when people have a lot of cookouts and family times and whatever. And so the natural inclination on a day like this is to think about food. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, the title of the sermon, How's Your Appetite? And, you know, and of course, having our hot dog cookout. It's not really a cookout, it's more of a cook-in. But, you know, it's a good time this afternoon. And, you know, we know that there are certain foods and certain things that people naturally gravitate to and they really like. And I'm wondering, can you think of a food, some kind of a food that you did not like as a child, but now you do like it? I mean, have any of you experienced that, you know, certain kinds of foods that maybe as a child you just didn't like it at all? But over time, your tastes changed, and you started to like that kind of food. You know, as we grow older, our tastes change. Our tastes for different foods change. And, you know, due to this lockdown that we've gone through, the tastes of the people really in America, all over America, have been changing. You know, people now are eating more fast food, for one thing. You know, sometimes it's harder to go to the grocery store and get the foods that you want to prepare it at home. Restaurants may be difficult to get into. There are long waiting lines or whatever. And so, you know, people have been eating more fast food, and they've been using other sources to get their meals. Some people may be familiar with the meal delivery services that are out there. In fact, right here in Asheville, we have some. This isn't an advertisement for them. I'm not being paid anything for this. But, you know, you have things like DoorDash, where you can call up, tell them what you want from what restaurant or what fast food place, and they'll go get it and bring it to your door. Well, there's also something called Uber Eats. This is all in Asheville, by the way. Uber Eats, they do pretty much the same thing. And then there's something called Schwann's Meals. Any of you familiar with Schwann's Meals? Yeah, well, what they'll do is they'll deliver you a week's worth of meals, all packaged and everything, and all you have to do is kind of assemble it when the time comes to make the meal. You assemble it and put it together. But, you know, that's what they do. These things were never around before. They were to a slight degree, but not like they are now. You know, this is something new. And although most of these things are quick and easy, don't you love that term, quick and easy? Although they're quick and easy, they're not always as nutritious as they should be. You know, we've known for a long time that fast food may fill your stomach, but it doesn't necessarily satisfy you. As somebody that's eaten a lot of hamburgers, I can tell you that's really the truth. You know, it fills you up, but doesn't really satisfy you. The truth is, our human nature, our human physical nature, desires things and sometimes craves things that are not healthy. They're not good for us. Some time ago, there was a song that was very popular. It was called Junk Food Junkie. And if you remember that song, came out a while back. And the theme of this song is somebody that basically says, you know, during the day, I always eat healthy. I go to Whole Foods and I eat at the salad bars and I do all this. But when nighttime comes, and this is the chorus of the song, it says this: but when that clock strikes midnight and I'm all by myself, I work that combination on my secret hideaway shelf, and I pull out some Fritos and corn chips, Dr. Pepper, and an Old Moon pie. Then I sit back in glorious expectation of a genuine junk food high. Oh yeah, it's in the daytime, I'm Mr. Natural, just as healthy as I can be. But at night, I'm a junk food junkie. Oh friend, have pity on me. That's the song, Junk Food, Junk Food Junkie. Well, you know, the same thing holds true spiritually. The same thing holds. Natural man does not crave the things of the Spirit. That's the natural man. They don't crave the things of the Spirit. I'll give you a good example. I'm thrilled to see some young people here, some children here with us today. God bless you. But you know, having had five children of my own, I know how hard it is to get children to get ready to go to church. It's just like a battle constantly to get them, because their natural person inside of them doesn't want to do it. They just don't want to do it. You have to keep on them all the time. I remember hearing the story of this mother that went in on a Sunday morning to wake up her son and said, "Son, you need to get up and get ready. It's time, the time is coming to go to church." The son said, "I don't want to." She said, "Now you have to. You have to get up and get ready because we're going to church." And he said, "Well, give me three good reasons why I should get up now and go to church." She said, "Well, first one is that we're Christians, and Christians meet together and they go to church." And he said, "Okay, well, what's the second one?" He said, "Well, the second one is you're my son and our family goes to church." And he said, "Okay, well, what's the third one?" And she said, "The third one is you're the pastor." So, spiritually, we don't long for spiritual things. The Bible addresses this, and that's why our text this morning, Isaiah chapter 55, and it says, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" And he's speaking here to the condition of the heart. Why do we spend all of our time and all of our efforts and most of our money on things that really have no spiritual significance at all? Jesus spoke about, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be satisfied." And he was speaking here about spiritual appetites, about what we desire. And I want to look closer at this. So when Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness," what does he mean by this concept of being blessed? Well, the world pretty much equates blessing with physical material possessions, that if we have enough material possessions to see us through, then we're considered blessed. I remember back years ago when Mother Teresa came to the United States, and she was out in L.A., Los Angeles, and while she was out there, somebody pointed out the affluence, all the cars, the beautiful cars and homes, huge homes and wealth and whatever. And Mother Teresa was taking all that in and looking at it, and she made this statement, "America is one of the poorest nations I have ever seen." And somebody said, "How could you say that after being in Calcutta, India?" And she said, "Oh, they have lots of material possessions, but spiritually, it's one of the poorest nations I have ever seen." Kind of hits you right there. Everything that we have in America is designed and geared to make us happy. That we want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. We want to party hardy. And yet we come out of it all with a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of sadness. No matter what we get to try to fill that void, it never lasts. It fills it for a little while. We feel good about it. Buying a new car, getting a different home, something like that, getting a raise in our job, all those things will make us happy for a little while, but then it's short-lived, and after a while, it just passes away. And you know, spiritually speaking, Christians, believers, are prone to fall into this very same trap, that we try to fill our lives with those things that the world is filling their lives with, only to find out that we're empty. We're empty. We confuse the worldly success with God's blessing. It's very different. I think that the Apostle Paul talked about this, Romans chapter 7, and verse 19. And he said this, "For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This is what I keep on doing." Now here's a man that wrote almost 2/3 of the New Testament, and he's crying out from the heart. And he's saying, "I'm trying to be fulfilled in my life. I want to draw closer to the Lord. But it seems like, you know, I'm taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, that's what I do." And he says, "Who can save me from this body of death?" We never feel satisfied. We never feel content, at peace. You know, it's the age-old question. If you died today, would you feel like your life had meaning? Would you feel like you've accomplished what you want to accomplish in your life? That's why Isaiah is saying here, why spend your money for that which does not satisfy? Now, Jesus warned about that. So did John, the Apostle John. John said this. This is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. He said this, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world." And it's almost like it's a deception. It's something to get us away from the truth and put our eyes over here. And as long as we're worried about these things over here, we're not thinking about the Lord or about his kingdom. We don't realize his blessing. So what is this blessing that he's talking about? Well, you know, David, very first psalm, said this, "Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season." See, what's he talking? He's painting a picture here of somebody that's completely content in life. You know, being planted by the rivers of water means that even in times of drought, he has a constant source of nourishment, a deep satisfaction, a contentment in life. This is what Paul said in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. He says, "Godliness actually is a means of great gain when it's accompanied by contentment." So what's the opposite of that then? If we're not contented, all of our religious behavior is worthless. Godliness is a means of great gain when it's accompanied by contentment. Verse 3 says this, in our text this morning, it says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David." He's saying, "Incline your ear and come to me. Come to me." Jesus put it this way, "I came that they may have life, and they may have it abundantly." I don't think God wanted us to be on a starvation diet spiritually in this world. He wanted to be able to provide and to give everything good to his people. But more than that, he wanted our souls to be filled. He wanted us to be satisfied spiritually, to know the joy of his presence, the joy of his kingdom. So who then is it that fits into that category? Who is the ones that are blessed? Well, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." That's in the Beatitudes. That was in the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. The very beginning. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You realize he used an illustration here of the two strongest drives in human beings, and that's hunger and thirst. You know, we can go a while without food. There are people that have been trapped, snowbound and whatever, and they've lasted for weeks, sometimes even months, without food. They live off body fat and whatever. but thirst. We have to have water at least 3 to 4 days. Every 3 to 4 days, you have to have water. It's essential. And I don't know if you have ever been hungry, so hungry that that's all you can think about, or so thirsty that's all you can think about. These are very powerful drives, and this is what Jesus was telling his people. Blessed are those who hunger to the point of death, who thirst to the point of death. It's more than just desiring. It's a life thing. We have to have it. And hungering and thirsting for what? For righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? What are we supposed to hunger and thirst for? Well, a good definition of righteousness is simply being right with God, being right with Him. You know, God puts this thing into people that seek Him, people that have surrendered to Him. It's like a little device inside. When we know that we're drifting away, we know that we're getting further and further away from God, and there's something that comes up inside and says, now's the time, you need to come back to me. Thank the Lord for that. The desire to being right in right relationship with God. It's being free from sin, basically. People laugh at that word, sin. What's sin? Sin is simply not reaching the mark. You know, God has set a standard. We're not coming up to that standard, and that difference is sin. It's not just individual sins, but it's our life. It's the quality of our life. We're not what God wants us to be. But through Jesus Christ, we've been given His perfect obedience. We've been justified by faith before God. And because of that, we're being sanctified. We're being made more like Jesus over time. And that's why we have this hunger and this thirst for God. It's God's Holy Spirit working in our hearts to make us more like Jesus. Thank the Lord for that. So it's being free from sin. It's also being free from the power of sin. Sin no longer has control over us. It no longer has power over us. We don't have to obey it anymore. We'll be tempted to. And that goes on all the time and will go on until we are with the Lord in glory, constantly being tempted. But Martin Luther once said, you know, we can't keep birds from flying over our head, but we can keep them from building nests in our hair. And what he was saying by that was, we don't have to give in anymore. Like Paul said, who can save me from this body of death? And then the very next line is, thanks be to Christ Jesus. He broke the power of that sin. I don't have to do it anymore. Well, talks about being free from sin and being free from the power. It also speaks about being free from the desire to sin. You know, sin is fun. Nobody ever said it wasn't. Sin, temptation, there's a reason why it's called temptation, because it's so attractive. It looks so compelling, but it comes with a huge price tag. And it means that we're not only set free from the sin and the power of sin, we can also be set free from the desire to sin. And what God wants us to do is to have that same desire for Him, that same longing for Him, to surrender ourselves to Him, the desire to put God first in our lives, that we consciously choose God over the things of this world, over everything else. You know, there's a song that, it's a popular song, right now, it came out a few years ago, but this is the air I breathe. Some of you may be familiar with that. And part of the words say, I'm desperate for you. Well, what's the result of all this? Well, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, speaking about spiritual appetites. Blessed are they because They, and they alone, will be satisfied. They will have satisfaction in life. I go back to the question. If something were to happen and your life was to end today, would you feel like it's all been worth it? Would you feel satisfied with your life? Because that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. They'll be given to you. And you'll have that sense of satisfaction in life. That's his promise. He says that we'll be filled, we'll be satisfied with life. You know, Isaiah finished this chapter, rather this passage that we read this morning, verses 6 and 7, with these words. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You realize this is an invitation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Let me tell you something. There are people in places around the world right now that have had that opportunity taken away from them. I'm talking particularly about the Christians, the missionaries in Afghanistan. Those Christians in Afghanistan, our brothers and sisters in Christ who surrendered their hearts and their lives to him. And now they cannot meet in church. They can't pick up a Bible and simply read. If they're caught, they'll be put to death immediately. I mentioned last week or the week before, I can't remember which, where they were lining people up and looking at their cell phones. And if they had downloaded a Bible onto their cell phones, they were immediately put to death. People don't have that option anymore in certain parts of the world, but we do. We do. And there are people all around us out here that are living their lives as if there is no God. It doesn't matter to them that God exists, but it matters to us. I know that it matters to you and it matters to me. Because God's Holy Spirit has grabbed a hold of us and he's turned us inside out and he's put his spirit in us so that we will long for him. I always think about Lot. In Hebrews chapter 11, it speaks about Lot. And it said that he was surrounded by unrighteousness. And it said that his righteous soul was vexed within him. And I know that as a believer, you watch things on television, you see things happening, and your soul is vexed. Why is it like this? Why are people shaking their fist at God? Why do people hate Christians? And they do. Why? You know, the heat is being turned up. It's really not cost us very much up until now to name the name of Jesus Christ. But it will. I know that you're probably watching videos, and I am too, of things that are happening. And I watched one this week that showed two men, and they had Al-Qaeda standing there with AK-47s, and they were pointed right at them. And they said, "Will you deny Jesus? Will you deny Jesus?" And the first man was shaking all over. He was trembling, shaking all over. And he said, "Yes, yes, I'll deny Jesus. I will deny him." And he got up and he ran. And they let him go. And the second one, they said, "Will you deny Jesus?" And he said, "Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I will not deny him." And they didn't show what happened, but the screen went blank at that point. And I'm glad for that. But it's costing something now for these people. What would cause them not to deny Jesus at that point in time, in that moment? It's because they have hungered and they've thirsted for righteousness. And they want more than anything for Jesus to be their Lord forever in all of eternity. I I know the day's coming when it's going to cost us more and more to name the name of Jesus Christ. And we need to listen to what Isaiah said when he said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful that you have opened up our hearts to you and to your word. I thank you for each person that's here this morning, and I know that they're not here by chance or by accident, but they're here because your Holy Spirit has drawn them here. And Lord, I pray and ask that your hand of blessing might rest on them, that you would strengthen each person here, and Lord, that you would help us to stand strong in the evil day. And we thank you for your love and for your mercy and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 201. We'll sing the first two verses here and then the third verse for our benediction response. Please stand and we'll sing these first two verses, number 201. There is a Redeemer.
Bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.